Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 4th of November, recording at a very late 10:22 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And my apologies to that UK subscriber who has to go to bed at 10 o'clock and requested that I try to complete audios before then. Well, I like to do that, but I had to spend most of the day in the city, so I got off to a very late start. Okay, what about the markets? This is one of those watershed days, very important in markets, and I feel that there is a growing body of evidence to suggest that we are moving out of one of those unrewarding periods when most markets are range-bound and into one of those far more profitable periods when we do get some sustainable medium-term trends. Now first, let's have a quick review of that my stock market scenario. And as you may recall, when I got back from a long holiday on the 31st of August, I looked at stock markets, and which I knew had rallied a bit, and I thought I'd be wanting to sell something short. And to my surprise, the technical evidence looked extremely favorable. So I started to develop the hypothesis that we had seen extremely important lows in mid-August, that we were likely to see, due to seasonal factors, a consolidation, and not to mention overhead resistance, to see a consolidation period really from the second half of September through at least the first half of October. And thereafter, Provided Bush looked likely to be reelected and the oil price didn't go through the roof, that the window of opportunity would be open for a strong fourth quarter for stock markets, and that could even run into well into the first quarter of 2005, my best case scenario. Well, you know the oil story. It pushed up very sharply during that consolidation phase, but markets held up pretty well nonetheless, and oil has subsequently fallen back, and we've seen further weakness today, which adds to the bullish case. Bush is reelected. The markets like that. And so really all those major factors that I was talking about are very much in line with this ongoing stock market rally. Well, where's the beef? Where's the evidence? Today we had a barnstorming performance by Wall Street. Dow closing up 177 points to 10,314. That's up 1.75%. The S&P was up over about 18.5, 1.62%. NASDAQ was the laggard, but good gain here, up nearly 1%. And if you look at that chart of the S&P index, and I was able to get a closing chart up there for you, look at the weekly chart, and you see progression of lower rally highs within the trading range being broken. This really does look as if we are pushing up out of this range, and of course this is a move that has been telegraphed by many emerging markets around the world and a number of the European indices, which have broken to new highs in recent weeks. I think the UK was one of the first to do that. We also had, maybe Belgium was the first to do that, but of the bigger ones, the UK certainly. And then more recently, we had Italy and Spain moving up into new high ground for the year as well. We haven't got anything breaking down. So again, I think this remains, on a technical basis, a very favorable environment. The worst thing I can say is that we have some short-term overbought conditions, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. That can always lead to brief pauses and consolidations, but I certainly don't look for any big shakeouts. I think there's no known factor that I can think of that would cause a big shakeout. And I think that today's action on Wall Street is really going to represent a wake-up call for the bears. And there are still quite a few bears, or people who were very doubtful, very much on the fence. So this is a tradable rally, and I think you can play it in a number of markets. As I've said recently, I'm playing this mainly through Asia, and my leveraged position in stock market futures is in Japan, which has lagged. But as you know, I've got investments in Indian funds and in Thailand. So, and Thailand looks oversold. Japan looks oversold among developed country markets. I think Japan is really one of the more interesting ones at this stage. As I say, as you probably know, it's underperformed the U.S. and it's also underperformed Europe in the last few weeks. But the patterns, or it started to bounce from some prior support on the three main indices that I look at, the TOPIX, the Nikkei 225, and the Tokyo Second Section Index. And I talked to StockCube's Japan specialist here today, and they work very much on a bottom-up approach, whereas my approach is always top-down. I find them complementary. But I said to him, if you were going to be talking to some investors, investment advisors, investment managers, as I was doing earlier in the day, what sectors would you be recommending in Japan? And he said rather cautiously, on a pullback, he said that he would be buying banks, he would be buying chip manufacturers, and he would be buying construction companies. And another colleague listening to this said, in other words, the stock market's going to go up. And I said, exactly. I couldn't agree more. I mean, those three sectors would suggest to me that we were definitely due for a rally. I don't really expect much of a pullback. I don't think we may not see any pullback. Japan is coming up off its lows. I think it will probably play a bit of catch up here. And what else can I mention to you? Moving on quickly here. Sorry, I'm a little bit tired given this late hour, long day. I would just want to emphasize the point that I have been saying that I feel that this is a tradable opportunity in here, and the window remains open. In other words, for this medium-term run in stock markets. What happens from late in the first quarter of 2005 onwards is likely to be a different story, but a lot can be achieved between now and then. Okay, looking at government bonds, can I maintain that this is a bearish area, but these markets may hold up for a while longer? I'm only interested in being short U.S. Treasuries, which I have shorted, not aggressively. I'm going to add to the position at some point, and I'm watching the JGBs. I haven't shorted them again at this time. And I just bring up a point here that I think is very, very relevant in terms of what's going on in stock markets and what is helping to prop up bond markets and what is unleashing another rally in metals. And that is, I was told today by someone I speak to from time to time that according to a study in the Bank Credit Analyst, the BCA publication, which I actually have, I see it on my desk, an unopened mail arrived today, but that I think his comment was that global liquidity was at an all-time high. I will check and confirm that hopefully by tomorrow. But that doesn't surprise me at all. Why might we have an abundance of liquidity? And if it isn't at an all-time high, it's certainly there's plenty of very abundant. There's loads of liquidity sloshing around in the system. Well, why might that be the case? First, we have the deflation fighting, or the deflation fears fighting, that's been taking place really for quite a long time. That got another boost of liquidity in response to the extremely, well, the very firm price of crude oil, particularly in US dollars. So, high oil prices, central banks start to worry about growth being hit hard, possibly leading to some serious disinflationary, deflationary pressures. So they pump a lot of liquidity into the system. And I think this boat, I beg your pardon, this tide of liquidity is helping to float a good many market boats in here right now, not least stock markets. It is supporting bond markets a bit, but I think they still look quite vulnerable, and there's not much upside scope there in terms of bond futures prices, in my view. I'm talking about governments now, long-dated governments. And I think that the ones that are particularly vulnerable over the medium to long term are the US Treasuries and the JGBs, as I've said repeatedly. The European bonds, I would expect to continue to do better. I'm talking about now gilts and euro 10-year euro bunds, because there are the strong currencies are likely to add to the concern over deflationary pressures, certainly not to revive inflationary fears to the same extent that we may well see in other markets. Okay, moving on to currencies. It's clear to me, at any rate, that the US government is very happy to see the US dollar soften. The Fed is happy to see that take place as well. I've been saying that for a while. We are seeing the dollar not only pressure, but now beginning to move through its lows. I believe it was February lows, but certainly this year's lows. I'm talking about the dollar index now, and you can see that chart in comment of the day. I continue to believe that the dollar is a short. I prefer to play it through high-yielding currencies such as the Australian dollar, but Euro Swiss, Euro, I beg your pardon, Dollar Swiss, I would play that, not Euro Swiss. I would say we could definitely play Euro dollar. That one, neither Euro dollar nor dollar Swiss have the same yield as something like the Australian dollar, but they have the chart patterns. So I would put those on the list, but the basic story here is that the dollar is weak. Another high yielding currency, or high-ish yielding currency, is sterling, but that's, in my view, sterling's a bit overvalued in here, and it's not performing all that well. I could easily see sterling eventually going above the $2 level, and that would be quite a significant move. But if that happens, I think the other currencies are likely to do even better, the other currencies that I mentioned, because we currently have the euro continuing to push higher against sterling. I would not want to have any dollar exposure whatsoever. What about investors who might want to go in and play the US stock market? Well, you can hedge out the currency, of course, and I would do exactly that. Now, metals. This was a very interesting day. We had gold push up to about 433 at one stage, then it backed off a bit, so it's still encountering a little bit of resistance here, but this pattern looks very, very strong. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see gold run to and above $450 during the remainder of this year. And in terms of the overall pattern, it just looks like a very late stage consolidation, and that we're not very far away from a sustained upward break here. So, you know, I've said about gold so often that it's in this stealth bull market stage where it's boring most of the time, and then we get a quite sharp, persistent short-term advance, and that lasts no more than a matter of a few weeks at most, and then go into another one of those long pullback consolidation phases. But that gold is always a buy on a pullback, and I would say the same for silver. Gold's a very, very volatile proxy, but you have to watch out in terms of not coming in too soon during a corrective phase, because silver can be really quite volatile. But I don't want to stress the volatility or the risk more than the potential. I think the potential way outweighs the risk, and it's worth risking the volatility because of this upside potential. Now, the industrial metals, many of them had a good day in here today, but silver, suffice it to say that silver and all the other precious metals did extremely well, including palladium, which was up 5 at one stage. I think it closed up 4 on the day. That's very, very, very much the laggard, and it will remain the laggard, but if we get gold running and silver running again, and platinum, as I expect, then I would expect a late and sharp catch-up run by palladium, just as we saw late last year and the beginning of this year. And so for those who are patient, I think it's a real bargain at these prices. Now, in terms of the LME metals, the London Metal Exchange, lead, which I own, very, very strong day in here today, up 29 to 916. They were all up except for tin. I said this is sort of perversely here. Tin sometimes will often has a small decline on the days when these other industrial metals are quite strong, and vice versa, firm up when some of the others are experiencing profit taking. But when I look at that tin pattern and compare it to the other metals, and I like to look at a sector where there's a high degree of commonality. I like to look at charts of everything within that sector, and I've often referred to nickel as being a leader within the sector. It had a booming day here today, up $825 to $14,425, looking strong on the charts. And I look at this tin now, with everything else moving up, and tin, which did not get the big shakeouts that the others saw, so it showed good relative strength during the last shakeout, and it remains in this very tight range. I certainly wouldn't rule out the possibility of a potentially explosive move on the upside. Now, I'm a little bit biased. I've got a long position there, but I think technically it's logical. Okay, oil. This was very important today. Oil got hammered, and the crude price, which yesterday I noticed after I had left the office, that there was a bit of a late rally. I think there were some attacks on the Iraqi pipelines, and that caused a small upward dynamic on the crude oil price, but that was all wiped out in here today. We're currently trading at $48.69 for that spot crude oil price. So coming below 50, that is very, very favorable psychologically as far as stock markets are concerned. And as I've been saying, you know, for a while now, that it for the last week and a bit, that it did look as if we were going to see at least a short-term, well, that was clear, at least a short-term correction, but most likely a medium-term correction in the price of crude oil. And that evidence continues to grow. Natural gas also fell back quite sharply in here today. So might crude and natural gas weigh on some of the metals? It's not impossible, but they're not always going to be linked very tightly. The metals had had a correction before crude oil had a correction, so I'm not too worried about that. Gotta maintain that liquidity is a huge driving factor here in terms of the supply inelasticity markets. Now, the one really negative area, as far as I'm concerned, those dirt cheap agricultural commodities keep becoming cheaper still. They're still easing, drifting lower. This is going to require patience. They are being completely overlooked at this stage. I don't think there's any aggressive selling, and there that had occurred at much higher levels. But they haven't been discovered in inverted commas by a sufficient number of people to push these prices higher. My hunch is that they'll go on drifting, and then suddenly we'll see some quite explosive upward dynamics. With hindsight, it would have been prudent to wait for those upward dynamics rather than to go in on some of the smaller moves. That we have seen, but I maintain that again, for those who like to buy very depressed markets and have the patience to stay with them, that baby steps tactic of nibbling in the softs is not a bad idea. I'd be doing more of that, except there are so many other things around right now that look like better bets in the short term. Stock markets. For a further technical rally, be high on the list. US dollar shorts, very, very high on my list, and longs in the metals. Good night.